As you see, our title is The Eyes of God. Thank you, Fisher, for reading that scripture. We're going to read it again. If you have your Bible, we're going to be flipping to the page here. Psalms 32, verse 8. Right? I'm sure probably most of you all can quote this scripture here. It says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. Friends, we need the eyes of God. I'm sure through this, as we go through the scripture, you're going to see how much that we need the eyes of God. Genesis, we had the eye of God. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 19. Genesis chapter 2, verse 19 states, if you're there, say amen. If you're not, say have mercy. Genesis chapter 2, verse 19. It says, "In out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air." It says, brought them unto Adam to what? To see. So he brought it to Adam to see how Adam would see it. Right? Then they continue. It says, and what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Amazing eyesight that when God brought the animal to Adam for him to see what he will name exactly what God wants. And that's where Adam named it. We had it, friends. But there was change when we go to Genesis chapter 3. Verse 6, our eyes became what? Dimmed. We can see as God sees. I'm going to read this quote here. It says, every association of life calls for the exercise of self-control, forbearance, and sympathy. We differ so widely in disposition, habits, education. There are ways of looking at things vary. We judge differently. Our understanding of truth, our ideas in regard to the conduct of life are not in this respect the same. Mark 8. Let's turn to Mark 8. Friends, we became blind. Mark chapter 8. There's a story where Jesus did a miracle here, where he multiplied the fish and the bread. I'm sure you're familiar with this story here. But while then he did the miracle, then the Pharisee was asking for a sign, right? Then we go to verse 13. It says, and he left. Then he entered into the ship and again departed to the side. So Mark chapter 8, verse 13, it says, now the disciples had forgot taking the bread, neither had they the ship with them more than one loaf. Then Jesus kind of warned the disciple here. Verse 14, it says, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. They didn't understand this, friend. Then, in verse 16, it says, and they reason among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread? Verse 17, it says, and Jesus says, knew it, and when Jesus knew it, and he said unto them, why reason of ye, because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand, have your heart yet hardened? It says, having eyes, see ye not. So now Jesus tells them that you have eyes, you cannot even understand what I'm saying, friends. We see there was a switch. Even these people were closer to Jesus, friend. Samuel chapter. So we see how our eyes became blind. Let's turn to Samuel, the book of Samuel, chapter 16. We know this story here, but we're going to look at it in different perspective. If you're there, please say amen. If you're not, I'll have mercy. So, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1, right? It says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? It says, Fill thy horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse in Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his son." Then Samuel says, "How can I go? Saul here, if he will, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take an heifer with thee, and say, I come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to sacrifice, and I will shew thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto him whom I name unto thee." And Samuel, listen to this, and Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town tremble in his coming, and say, "Comest thou peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably, I am come, sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourself, and come with me to sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to sacrifice. Friends, when Samuel was coming, right, the people tremble in his coming. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Right? But let's continue reading. And it says in verse 6, "And it came to pass when they were come, and he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord anointed before him." Problem. "But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as men see it." So we see we have different eyesights, right? And that's why we need the eyes of God. Friends, Samuel was a man of God, but he still needed the eyes of God to be able to distinguish. You see how dangerous it can be? Revelation chapter 3 calls us what? We are blind, right? And we need it. We need it, friends. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. We want to see our blindness, friends. And after we see how much we need the eyes of God. It's so important, especially as we're doing God's work. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Start with verse 26. It says, "As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and take bread and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, for which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you," this is where the eyes of Jesus is coming to them here. It says, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of vine until that day when I drink anew with you in my Father's kingdom." In verse 30 it says, "When they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then said Jesus unto them, This is where Jesus was able to see things they couldn't see. Verse 31, it says, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I shall smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." But Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended." He was sincere, but he was still blind, friends. Peter was sincere, but he was still blind here. And Jesus said, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Friends, we need the eyes of God because we tend to lean to our own understanding, friends. Let's go back in to verse 73. Then we see that where Jesus was trying to say, "Listen, I see things that you don't see. Watch, careful." 73. And we know what happened. It's an after. "Why came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech beareth thee." It's amazing. The more you get closer to Jesus, you tend to resemble him. Because he was speaking almost like Jesus. Then, verse 74, it says, Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man." Immediately, the cock crew. Wow. Then he remembered what Jesus was telling him. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, in which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly, friends. See, Jesus was trying to guide Peter here, was to guide the disciple with his eye. Because he was able to see something that they couldn't see. And that's why we have to sit back and, "Lord, help me to see it." Listen to this quote. It says, "While the degraded oaths were fresh upon Peter's lips, and the shrill crown of the cock was still ringing in his ear, the Savior turned from the frowning judge and what? Looked full upon his poor disciples. At the same time, Peter's eyes were drawn to his master. So they got face to face. So Christ was trying to tell them, "See, I warned you." Right? But guess what? Christ is so merciful, friend. In that gentle countenance, he read deep pity and sorrow, but there was no anger there. Praise God for Jesus. And that's the eyes that we need, friend, because he sees something that we cannot see. Matthew 26, verse 39. Let's go back again there. And we're going to see something here, right? This, where Jesus was agonizing with the, you know, he was burdened. The sin of the world was upon him. And he went a little further. 26, verse 39, it says, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, as my will, but as thy will." And he come to the disciples and find them what? Asleep, and said to Peter, "What could ye not watch me 1 hour?" He says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." Now, let's look at the last part here. It says, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Do you know what Jesus was trying to do here? Was trying to tell them? He was actually trying to excuse their weakness. Right? Even his great agony, right? he was able to see beyond his weakness, friends. Can you imagine that's the time that you need your friends the most, right? And that you need it, and then you asked them for help, and they didn't come. What would you do to your friend? You would say, that's not my friend. Because that's the time that you need it. But Jesus was able to see beyond their weakness, friends. Listen to this. Even in his great agony, he was seeking to excuse their weakness. The spirit truly is ready, he said, but the flesh is weak. That's the God that we serve, friend. We need his eye. Because it's only the eyes of God that we can be able to see that. Because if our friends deny us, guess what? Our eyes will go to self. But we need the eyes of God to be able to see that, friends. Luke chapter 15. Let's turn there. So, Luke chapter 15. We know we have the three parables there. But we're going to focus on one. Because we need, friends. It's only the eyes of God. Especially as we're doing God's work. We need it for us to be able to see things that our physical eyes cannot see. It says, either, what woman have a 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find? So in Luke chapter 15, you have three different type of people that are lost. Right? For example, you have the lost sheep. They know they're lost, but they don't know how to come home. Then you have the lost coin. They know they're lost. I mean, they lost, but they don't know they're lost. Then you have the prodigal son. They know they're lost, but they know how to come back home. But what the sad thing here is that the lost coin is lost. He don't know that he is lost, and he is lost inside the house, friend. It's inside the house, friend. And that's the danger of it. And he doesn't know that he is lost. But what it takes to find this lost coin. Listen to this passage here, friends. This is every assembly for worship. There are souls longing for rest and peace. So we saying even here right now, there are so a longing for rest and peace. What does it take to find that soul, friends? It says, wherever we may be, there the last piece of silver waits for our search. Are we seeking for it? What do we need to be able to find this last coin, friends? Not our own eyes. Because they may be there. Lost. Don't even know if they're lost, friends. But guess what? It says the woman in the parable searched diligently for her lost coin. She lights the candle and sweeps the house. She removes everything that might obstruct her search. Though only one piece is lost, she will not cease her effort until that piece is found. And this is what we have to care for. You know why? Because when we're trying to sweep, we have to be careful that we don't sweep the coin. And that's, it takes a diligently seeker, like the candle. What is the light? The word. For us to be able to find this lost coin. But we must search for it. And we need the eyes of God to be able to do that. The piece of silver was lost in the house. It was close at hand, yet could be recovered only by diligent search. We must search, friends. We have the work to do. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 15. In this, we're going to see something here beautiful. It says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured and saying, this man receives sinners and eateth with him. Why do you think that Jesus received sinners and the Pharisee couldn't? Why? speak. I heard you say something. Why that the Jesus was able to sit with the publicans and sinners that the Pharisee couldn't? Friends, like I said, Jesus has more than 20/20 vision. He sees beyond that the Pharisee could see. Listen to this. Christ can look upon the misery of the world without a shade of sorrow for having created man. In the human heart, guess what? He sees more than sin, more than misery. In his infinite wisdom, in love, he sees man's possibility, the heights to which he may attain. He knows that even though human beings have abused their mercy and destroyed their God-given dignity, yet the Creator is to be glorified in their redemption. Friends, we need the eyes of God, friends. It's the only way that we can be able to see a someone laid outside there, that we can be able to see man's possibility. But with the human eye, guess what? We see only their weakness. And we need it, friends. In this time that we're living in the work that we have, we need the eyes of God, friends. Mark chapter 3, verse 13, verse 14. Isn't it? He goeth up into the mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. You know why I like this verse? Let's say if you start a ministry, if you're about to start a ministry, will you choose these 12 disciples to start a ministry? No! You cannot. I mean, it's hard. Guess what? You want to choose, the quality, you know, all those details that the human mind will see, and that's what you want to choose. But guess what, friends? With Jesus, all things is possible. God sees some things that we cannot see. Listen to this. Oh, how different are the standards by which God and man measure characters. God sees many temptations resist, of which the world and even near friends never know. Temptation in the home, in the heart, he sees. The soul's humility, in view of its own weakness, the sincere repentance over even a thought that is evil, he sees. Friends, our friends cannot see that, but God does. The whole heart devotion to the upbuilding of the cause of God, he has noted those hours of hard battle with self, battle that won the victory. All this, God and angels know. Friends, only God can be able to see that. We can see it. And that's why Jesus was able to take these 12 disciples to change the world. And what we need, the eyes of God, friends. It says, in all men, he saw fallen souls whom it was his mission to save. In all men. And that's why, so all of us, it's his mission to save. Acts chapter 13. I like this story here. Acts chapter 13. This is a story. So, Acts chapter 12, that's when Peter was in jail. The people was praying for Peter, right? And it's amazing because they were praying for Peter, and their prayer was answered when Peter came, and they didn't even recognize it was Peter. It's almost like you don't even believe your own prayer, right? There was actually in the house of John Mark's mother, and then 13:13, it says, and Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, and they came to Perga in Pamphylia, lie in John departed from, turned to Jerusalem. So they were doing amazing work, friends. They were doing amazing work, so they had John Mark with them. But John Mark kind of fled from this. Poor John Mark. Then 37 in Acts chapter 15, verse 37. Guess what? They want to go visit the work they did. But Barnabas, this is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I'll tell you after why. But Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But guess what? Paul is using logic here. He said, but Paul thought not good to take him with him, who departed from them for Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them, and they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. So, splits. Paul didn't think it was a good idea. If you put yourself in that situation, you would understand Paul, right? I mean, let's say that you're in the mission field, or you're overseas. Then you had this person with you, then he left you alone. Then your friend's like, no, let's take him back again. What would you do? He's like, no. I mean, look what he did. Makes sense, friends. Logic. But listen to what she said about Paul. Barnabas was ready to go with Paul, but wished to take with them Mark, who had gained the desire to devote himself to the ministry. To this, Paul objected. He thought not good to take with them one who, during their first missionary journey, had left them in a time of need. Makes sense, friend. He needed, but he fled. He was not inclined to excuse. Listen to this. Paul was not inclined to excuse Mark's weakness. What did Jesus did for the disciple? He excused their weakness in the deserting the work for the safety and comfort of home. He urged that ones with so little stamina was unfitted for a work required patience, self-denial, bravery, devotion, faith, and a willingness to sacrifice, if needed be, even life itself. So sharp was the contention that with Paul and Barnabas separate, the latter following out his conviction and taking Mark with him. So Barnabas, listen to this, that's why I like Barnabas. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Now listen to this one. The desertion caused Paul to judge Mark unfavorably and even severely for a time. Barnabas, on the other side, hand was inclined to what? Excuse. You see, like, to me, it's like almost like Jesus here. He says he was excuse him because of his inexperience. Friends, you need the eyes of God to be able to see this. We will see why. And he felt anxious that Mark should not abandon the ministry, for he what? He saw, but how? In him, qualification that would fit him to be a useful worker for Christ. And after years, his solicitude in Mark's behalf was richly rewarded, for the young man gave himself unreservedly to the Lord and to the work of proclaiming the gospel message in difficulty fields, under the blessing of God and the wise training of Barnabas, he developed into a valuable worker. Let's see why. Then look what Paul says about John Mark. 2 Timothy chapter 4:11. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. This is the word of Paul. This is only Luke is with me. Take who? Mark? Now you take your Mark? It says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable. What? Profitable now to me for the ministry. But why did Barnabas was able to see something that Paul couldn't see, friends? This is one of my favorite scripture in the Bible. Let's turn to Acts 11. And that's my prayer for myself, friends. I pray there will be a prayer for you as well. And this is the why I think it's why that Barnabas was able to take John Mark with him. It's one of my favorite scripture. It says, he's talking about Barnabas. For he was a what? Good man. And what? Full of the Holy Ghost. And what? And faith. And guess what? Much people was that unto the Lord. This is our calling. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we have to be men of faith. And we need to bring people to Christ. Barnabas was able to distinguish because he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he saw something that beyond logic he'd be able to see. Because Paul, on that moment, he was using logic to distinguish the work of Barnabas. Of John Mark. You need the Holy Spirit to be able to do that, friends. And that's the only way. Because we tend to use logic to do a lot of things for God. But God is beyond logic, friends. Christ's method alone will bring true success in reaching the people that Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for their ministry to their needs and won their confidence. Then he bade them, follow me. Friends, we live in a time, how can we be able to have the eyes of God? And that's the question that we need to ask ourselves. Because the world needs to see Jesus. And we need to see beyond where our human mind can see. How do we do it? First, we need to pray this prayer right here. In Psalms 119. Verse 18. It says, open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous thing of thy law. We need to pray that God may open our eyes, friend. That we can be able to see the things that our physical eyes cannot see. The other one, 2 Kings. You know this story here, right? As we close. 2 Kings chapter 6. You know the story, the Syria was furious against the Israelites. Verse 11 says, Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was so troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and he said unto them, wait, will yet not shew me which of us is for the king of Israel? Verse 12, it says, one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elijah the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore send he thither horses and chariots in great hosts. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And guess what? The servant. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? He answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Guess what Elijah did? And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Friends, we need to pray that we can see. Because Elijah was able to see something that this man couldn't see. But we need to pray, friends. Then as he prayed, and the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elijah. Something that physical eyes couldn't see. But through prayer, he was able to see beyond what the physical eyes can see. Friends, we need it. We need to pray, because sometimes we tend to lean to our own understanding to do God's work. It's easy. It's so easy for us to do that, because we deal with one another. But this work that we're doing is beyond human logic. It's divine work, friends. It's ordered by God. You know what the greatest need of the church today? The greatest need of the church is the Holy Spirit. It's the only way that we can be able to distinguish things that our human mind cannot see. I'll close this quote here. It says, How abundant is the gift of our world of the Holy Spirit. It is beyond the power of language to express the blessing it brings to God's people. If received and appreciated, the Holy Spirit will make us what? Holy. Christ-like. Through its agency, we are united with Christ, partakers of the divine nature. The reception of the Holy Spirit in its fullness is the great need of the church today. It is the greatest need of the church, friends. It's the only way that we can be able to see things that our own human mind can be able to see. It's the only way, friends. We need it. Because he says in John chapter 16, verse 13, he will guide us into what? All truth. And we need to pray for it, friends. Because we have work to do. The lost coin. We need the Holy Spirit for us to be able to see that lost coin. Because guess what? It will appear like it's not. They're okay. And sometimes they may be with some dust. And we need to be careful. Because when we sweep in, we can just probably brush it out. And we need the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom, to be able to help us to understand things beyond our human mind, friends. It's my prayer that God may fill us with the Holy Spirit, that we can be able to do the work that call us to do. Because this work is divine. And we need the divine guidance to be able to do it. For us to be able to see as God sees, is only through the aid of the Holy Spirit. Because there's some things that we cannot see. But the Holy Spirit will bring all things to our remembrance. Guide us into all truth. It will help us to enlighten our path. That we can be able to understand the work of God. Because this thing, friends, if we don't ask the aid of the Holy Spirit, guess what? There will be like any other book. Because this is divine word, the human mind cannot comprehend it. We need the aid of the Holy Spirit for us to be able to understand, to be able to do His work. For us to be able to go and search these coins, these large sheep, the prodigal son, all of this is work for us to do. It's my prayer as we go throughout the week that we ask the Lord to help us to have His eye that we can see. Because our physical eye, Lord, we can't see it.